everybody should bring a nice big bag of candy so that all of the children become ill. And bring something like Starbursts also so the old people can have it, because it's a fasting day and no chocolate for you all. But we should have a good time, and it's for them. Again, I'm reminded by Marianne Mikhail that there is a festival. It is November, that's what I said, 16, and we will fest. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The man who was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is said, was demon-possessed. Sometimes we think about demonic possession in the way of something very spooky going on. Like you might imagine a dragon with big teeth, or something fierce, or something inhabiting an individual. But it can be a seductive spirit. It can be a spirit of great sensitivity and guile. It doesn't have to be something that is even ugly looking. It is ugly in its essence, to be certain. But the demon may just lead you slowly away from the correct path. But this man who was blind and mute, could not see, could not speak, he really is a symbol for all of mankind prior to the entrance of the incarnation of the Word of God, Jesus Christ. You see, men couldn't see who their Savior was. Men didn't know. Sight is like knowledge. And he couldn't speak the words that would give glory to God to acknowledge the gift that he had received. So he is like humankind, blind and mute. Now the Lord had been, up to this time, healing. He had been curing all manner of disease. But this was a special case. And when the people saw this man, because it wasn't because he did not have the function of his vocal cords. It was not because of this. It was because he couldn't speak. His voice was trapped inside. There are many types of psychological hysterias. If you look this up, you will find out that there are many things that can prevent a person from speaking, although there is no organic cause. That's why they say it's clearly he was demon-possessed. But he may have been just so possessed as everybody else was, or almost everybody else was, up to the time of the incarnation of the Lord, meaning possessed by the things of the world. To accumulate, to trust in the accumulation, that would be a buffer against the various things that might assault an individual. So, very important to see this person for whom he was. He represents humankind, you and me. Now, when he was able, after the Lord's healing, to both see and speak, everyone around was amazed. And guess what? They didn't attribute it to some other god. You see? Because these were Jews. These were Jews. They knew who God the Father was, is. They knew him. They knew. So they said, could this be the one that we have been waiting for? Could this be the Messiah? Could this be, as it's written here, the Son of David? Could this be the one? And the Pharisees were driven in a fit of jealousy to say, he does nothing. He does nothing. He casts out devils because he himself is Beelzebub. He has this affinity and this essence and this power that he derives from the prince of the demons. You know, we are called Christian after Christ. So for me to call Jesus, this man Beelzebub. It's not a stretch. What was in their minds? So, now it says in the next line, Jesus knew their thoughts. That means that they were ashamed to utter it out loud. Right? Because if everybody's going, wow, this man has just been healed. This great weight has been lifted from him, and everybody is amazed and joyous. I don't care how much of a sourpuss you are, you're not going to stand up in the midst and go, nah, 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 that wasn't because of that. People are going to, they're going to get you. But it says Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And he has a very subtle thing that comes in the other synoptic gospel, which is, takes up this same scenario, which is Luke, where it goes on further to say, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it is the single sin that is unforgiven. Now, why? Why is it the single sin that is unforgiven? Well, first of all, the Jews had the experience of the Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament. The prophets were anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was rife throughout every single one of the salvific miracles that occurred. The flinty rock, Moses discharged water from. He should have done it in a different way, and he got in trouble for not doing it that way, but water comes forth. In every salvific act in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is acknowledged by the people of Israel. So why isn't the Holy Spirit acknowledged here? Because they're going to have to say, well, if this is the Holy Spirit, then what did the Lord say at the very last thing we prayed? If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you in this day. But you are saying what? That the devil is divided against himself? And then he's very subtle, and he's dealing with very subtle people. Very subtle. You know, if you want to know what type of mind these people have, there's a television program. It's called Charlie Rose. Charlie Rose is an interviewer, and last week he had the defense minister of Israel, and you should have heard how this man answered questions. He told you everything you wanted to know but what was asked. Every time a question was asked, he answered everything around the question and never touched the center question. Never. And I have heard this. Remember good old Tariq Aziz, who was the apologist for Saddam Hussein? I mean, on and on. If you listen to people from the Middle East, if somebody wants to lie to you, while you are being told the lie, your pocket has been picked, the key to your house is now in their hand, and your watch is on their wrist. And it is something that they learn. And there are many people that have this, even in the church. Because, like anybody else, they will pick up something from their time in the world. You pick up dirt from the world. And so they think that this is good. I cannot have to answer if I am simply going to answer in this way. I will tire the other person out. So Jesus was speaking very subtly to them. Whose kingdom, if it is divided against itself, will not stand? The Jewish kingdom, Israel, will not stand if it is divided against itself. How are you going to be standing straight and strong when the people are giving a claim to a miracle and saying the Spirit of God is present amongst us? We are amazed, and listen to that word, amazed, not merely curious, but wow, amazed. And then you have these people who in their time were supposed to be as priests are now in your time, telling you and leading you to the truth. And they diffuse the truth because they are more worried about their own position than they are about anything else. The world has completely entered into us. I like that quote from Emily Dickinson, the poet. She says, "The world is too much with us." And the world is too much with us. It means absolutely we are so concerned about the world, what the world thinks, what the politicians think. You know, as a short aside, we celebrate something on Friday, and you cannot call it by the name it is known generally in the world. You have to call it the Harvest Festival, or you have to call it the Fall Festival, or you have to call it, as I do, Halloween, you know, meaning sweets, plural, right? You can't call it Halloween. Christianity has been around for a long time. Somebody find an objection to Halloween from just 100 years ago. We didn't get smart in our age. We did not become intelligent in our age. That's the world entering into you, telling you something that you think is going to enhance your own presumed identity. Your real identity is lost insofar as a wave of political correctness sweeps across the earth, and you ride the crest of that wave along with everybody else thinking, "I'm one of the swell people." It's sad. And many people, they make that an issue of great import. Where my grandson goes to school, they do this. He goes to Whittier Christian School, and they make a big deal about the distinctions and about the evil that is inherent in this day. You know, you'll not find that in Mexico or in lots of Latin America, but it is. We're standing fast, boy. We're really right there. And who are we following? The Protestants. There was not one Orthodox that mentioned it first. Not one Roman Catholic that mentioned it first. The Roman Catholics, of course, couldn't afford to, because fully 40% of their pew is held by people from Latin America. But I'm saying this because sometimes it is the world that suffuses us, and we are starting to think with a worldly type mind. And then what is important? Well, certainly not the things of God. The Lord was present, the Lord did his miracle, and the people, the common people, knew it. But those who were jealous, those who had power, those who thought their position was in jeopardy, they opposed him. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is that you know the Holy Spirit, you know the Holy Spirit, and yet you deny it. You know the Holy Spirit, and yet you deny it. It's just like somebody who goes to the doctor, gets a prescription, goes to the pharmacy, fills the prescription, brings the prescription home, and then takes two or three of the pills and then puts the prescription on the shelf where it stays for several years. Huh? When you fail to yield to that which you know to be the truth, because in a moment of time it is unpleasurable, or it seems to you to be unnecessary, this is blasphemy. The Lord was willing to forgive everybody if they said anything about him, because they might be confused by his incarnation, taking the form of a man. They might be offended by it. You know, what if you're completely black, and you see this, you know how African American people hate the fact when you see a picture of a white-faced Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes. They hate that. Yeah, you know, I do too, but for different reasons. they are ethnocentric. I'm just a realist. He's Middle Eastern. As I look around the Middle East, I think he probably looked like the average Middle Eastern, except good looking. That didn't quite come out the way I meant it. But I'll let it stand. Look, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that he can be an offense in his person. But when he comes in his glory, oh, there will be no offense. When a cloud of angels come, and he is borne aloft by the thrones, which are a class of angels, and you see him, you will not wonder at his divinity. It will be certain. But to see him in this small, circumscribed form, okay, I can forgive you that. You're ignorant. You are ignorant. But of the Holy Spirit, are you ignorant? How can you confess God is God except by the Holy Spirit? And so the Jews confessed. How could all of the miracles that had happened to them come except by the Holy Spirit, whom the Jews confessed? So now the Holy Spirit is come, and you say it's the spirit of the devil. This is the unpardonable sin. And it's unpardonable to go to a doctor and buy prescription medicine and not take it, because you then are smarter than the doctor you went to. You should just heal yourself. And of course, no one can when we're talking about things that have to do with eternity. You cannot satisfy your own eternity. It has to be done for you as an accommodation of the Lord's love who created you. So we look at this and we say, as he said, certainly the kingdom of God has come upon us. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of ages. Amen.